in this coming Parshas Miketz of the Yosef's children. Vayikra Yosef Hashem Habuchor Menashe. He calls him Menashe. Kinashani Elokim is called Amaliv, is called Beis Ovi. And Menashe, I forgot all the trials and tribulations. And Ephraim, ki Ephraim Elokim be'eretz Onji. It was Poravarova. So the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu is Isholem, came Isholem in Pashas Vayishlach. He prevailed. He was Sholem bin Mamono. He still had his monetary possessions. And Sholem Begufo and Sholem Betalmudo. That his learning, he didn't forget his learning. But says the Medrash, Aval Yosef Shachach. But Yosef forgot some of his learning. Shenemak Yinashani Elokim is called Amoli. So the Chasam Sofer, in his Chidushim, says it's very interesting because he says, Aval Yosef Shachach. He says, "Menole la medrash dechi nashani koy sheshachach mashalomet beYaakov." In other words, nashani means to forget. But how did Chazal know that? It says he forgot. What did he forget? It doesn't say what he forgot. Maybe he koshib shan means he forgot beis aviv, all the things of. But who says it's talking about his learning? Maybe it means that, you know, he forgot all his tzaras, etc. But so he says no, because whatever tzaras he had, if Hashem saved you from your tzaras, so you forget the tzaras, you're finished, good. But he says the learning that he learned, Yosef, in his father's house, is called Girsa de Yankasa. That's the learning when you're young. That learning. And if you forget that, so even if you're going to learn later in life, but if you didn't have that foundation or that foundation's lost, that says the Chasam Sofer, I'll read you his lines. Even though he was prosperous in learning afterwards. But what? He called Mokum Girsa di Yankasa, who pseida de lo hoder. It's a loss that you can't retrieve. So he says he forgot his original learning, those years, those foundation years, he forgot. And that, even though you can learn later in life, but the learning that you have, the, what we call the Girsa de Yankasa, that is not retrievable. Because you could learn again and make up whatever, and that'll be a certain mila. But Nashani Elokim, says the Chasam Sofer, is Yosef's learning when he was young, when he was his father's house. Those are those foundation years. And even though later on, Hifrani Elokim, that was still the Girsa de Yankas of Seyed de Lol Hoda. And in the Sefer Beirach Moshe, Satmar Rebbe writes, Iker on page 10, Iker Gzeres Hayivonim Hoysal Girsa de Yankasa. The Hainu Shagozru al Yisrael Shalolimol Torah in B'nei HaNu'urim. That was the Iker Gzer of Torah, not just Stam Torah, but the Torah of Girsa de Yankasa. And that's why we say, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Godol Hashmoni Uvanov. Rome se Matisyo Kohen Godol Masra Nafsho Lilmo Torah im Habonim. She'omdom aleim malchus yovan harashah, etc. He wanted to be mevatel girsa diyankasa. Those pivotal years that you're learning in yeshiva, that was, and he says, and what do? In the misakin, he says, when we light, if at least the theory, not everyone does this, I don't do it, so I'm afraid of a fire, to write it on Pesach Habayis. Because Pesach means the beginning, those beginning years. And that's the, says the Sama Rebbe, is the idea of the Girsa de Yankasa. The Girsa de Yankasa is Pseida de Lohadar. And it's interesting that, you know, today's Nasi. When I was in Kerbiavna, so those days, the Rosh Hashiva, to me, it's, there's only one Rosh Hashiva in the world. There's the Rosh Hashiva is Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht. And the Minigan Kerbiavna was, people would, you know, go to the dorm and light, and then there would be a public hadlaka in the Beis Medrash. And then there would be a rikud around the Beis Medrash. But then the Rosh Hashiva, every night of Hanukkah, would give a drasha on the Nasi of the Yom. That was the minute. So today's my birthday. So it's so the Nasi Yom Yisachar. So you know, it was very special. It was my maftir. I was bar mitzvah parshas. It was a unique year. Only one Shabbos Chanukah by Yeshiv. It doesn't happen. My Talmud Benji Leibowitz from Tinek. So he also many years later. Rabbi Amos Alter sent me a letter last year. I just bumped him in the street. He gave me all the year, the calendar years when that happens. He had a whole cheshbon of how often it happens to have one Shabbos Chanukah being Vayeshev. But one thing about the Sefer Nechomas Tzion that was by Rav Yosef Taubenfeld, is the son of Rav Shmelke Taubenfeld, who was one of the big gedolim from Muncie. Passed away many years ago. So he wrote a sefer on Hanukkah. So he writes, you know, by Yisachar, it says, Vayar menucha ki tov, v'art ki na'ema, v'yitz shichmo lisbol. So it seems a little bit contradictory. He says, menucha is good, so therefore I'm going to work hard. V'yitz shichmo lisbol. I thought menucha is good. So he says, no. But he says, when you want to give, and this is what Moshe Shapiro helped me understand, if you want to give a king a present, so you're not going to be able to give, as Moshe Shapiro said to me, the king something that he really needs, because you can't afford that. So what do you do meaningful to a king? Something that's meaningful to you, you give to him. So what's meaningful to you? Menucha, peace of mind. So what do you? So we want to give a present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take the years, the menucha, years of Menuchas HaNefesh, before life becomes more complicated, and we dedicate those to our years in yeshiva, and that's so. Vayam menucha kitov, he says, menucha is a good thing. So you know what? I'm going to use my menucha vayet shich bolispol to be omel batora, and that's the idea, and that's the girsa diyankasa kinashani olkim. So he makes it up. He frani, but he says Yosef, the girsa diyankasa that I lost. That's not retrievable. So Rabosai, we're here now. This is the years of Gersa de Yankasa. And these, like, experiences, you know, they say, I think from Rav David Provarsky, he says, you know, in yeshiva, you know, whether you remember all the learning or not, but certain experiences that you're going to have in yeshiva, you'll never forget. And Hanukkah is always is one of them. And Baruch Hashem, we learn here the whole year. We have the Girsa de Yankasa and the Yediya, Korea, Dover Sheba Minyan, all the things that we've been learning this year, hopefully will be for you forever. We'll bump into the street in 40 years from now. Hopefully we'll keep up all the time. But, you know, these things, you know, my Shita, less is more and more is less. You go slow, you understand things, you kind of rest of your life, but because these are foundations, you'll look back 50 years from now. Oh, this is the Girsa de Yankasa. This is the foundation that we had in yeshiva, and the relationships. That's also most important. Relationships, Rebbe to Talmud, Talmud to Talmud, and that's very fortunate. My wife opens up the house to everybody. To you know, come to Shabbos meals, to come other things. You know, but that's the chinuch, that's the girsa de yankasa, and that, you know, hopefully won't be forgotten. Kinashani elokim, Yosef says it was forgotten from me. Hopefully it won't be forgotten from us. But this is one of the experiences of girsa de yankasa, is not only everyday learning, but Hanukkah Masiba, and other good occasions that we have during the year. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Rabbi Yaakov Taub, because I always have a minute to invite a guest speaker to this Masiba, and somebody who I respect and I feel you can learn from. And Rabbi Taub is a wonderful Talmud Chacham, but that's not what the only thing. You know, Rabbi Taub is just a very approachable person. You know, he's very normal, very down to earth. That's the biggest compliment you can give somebody these days. But they're normal. They're very normal, very down to earth, and a Talmud Chacham to boot. So that's Chachuta Meshulosh, Lobim Heira Yenosek, and you know, and I'm good friends with his father. I even had his grandfather in you know, so it's three. That's the Chutam Meshulash that, you know, so Baruch Hashem. And he's the Rav here in Washington Heights, in the Mount Sinai congregation. And he's here in the yeshiva, involved in the Smicha program and other things that he's involved with. So he's a person you should get to know. So, so without any further ado, I thank Rabbi Thomas for being here and being able to spend some time to give us some Divrei Torah, Divrei Chizuk.
Thank you, Rabbi Simon. Just so I could know Rabbi Simon when I was a Talmud here in the yeshiva. I still remember one of the first tish that he gave that I went to in Reuben. He said, you have to have a Rebbe in the yeshiva not to know only what Sfarim to look at and to quote, what Sfarim not to quote, what not to look at. I mean, the first Shabbos, almost 2008, I remember. First Shabbos of the year that I was there, he spoke at that tish, made a Shabbos on me. And when I was a rabbi at Penn for 5 years, only the UIC educator, and that's really why I developed a relationship with Rabbi Simon. He himself very open, as he does to a lot of the educators and many rabbanim across the country. And now that we're back here, he's incredibly helpful and friendly to me, and I appreciate that relationship. People have noted the extreme popularity of Hanukkah as a yontif. I heard this before in one way or another, that Hanukkah is just a holiday that people love across all classic Judaism. Wherever you're coming from, Hanukkah is just a popular holiday. Some holidays don't have such mazel. Hanukkah, perhaps because its placement in the year or because of the simple yet powerful nature of the mitzvahs and the hagim of the day, foods, whatever reason you want to give, Hanukkah just is incredibly popular. Rav Soloveitchik already noted that when he was in Europe, he remembers everyone was trying to claim Hanukkah as their own. Everyone wanted to claim that they were the Chashvanam, and whoever they didn't like were the Mizyavdim, the Ivanim. And you find that even nowadays, that people try to, before saying co-opt, there are certain cases, certainly is co-opting, but take Hanukkah and make it, okay, this is what's the Hanukkah really about. It's really about the cause that I believe in, and the villain's the one who are against the cause. And you can see, again, extreme versions of this. In one way, I don't want to get too political, but Hanukkah can become the holiday of this, not a bad thing, of, you know, of Earth and Green Day, because it's preservation, using a little to get a lot. Again, there are plenty of ideas you can plug into the holiday. And, of course, you have to be careful that if the holiday is everything, again, it quickly becomes nothing. At the same time, there is something kind of powerful about that. Reb Lachman, quote Karim Yavna, Reb Lachman Karim Yavna once noted in the context in the Haggadah on Pesach, jumping to Pesach for a moment. No, it's not Pesach, but jump there for a moment. That in the Haggadah we read, we say the story of the five Rabbanim who stayed up all night learning Torah until the Bnei Barak at the Seder, until the Talmidim came and said, Ikiyas Kriyash Mashazan Kriyash Shachras. And he argued that the point of that in the Haggadah is you shouldn't think an idea that we say in the context of Tfilah. Or in Brachos, it says, now there's a guy who was getting up and davening the Amud. And he said, Akel, Agadol, Agibor, Ba'anora. And then he kept going, listing other praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't stop there. Adir, he said, Arav, Agadol, whatever. He added all these other praises onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And until Rav said to him, you're done. That's all you have to say. Like, you're done praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you're never going to totally capture the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with praise. So you can't say more than we're allowed to say. The few words that we say, we only say them in our tefillah in the first bracha because Moshe Rabbeinu said them. You're not allowed to say more. You have to limit to the text, and going beyond that is a problem. And he compares a mushel. It's like saying to a king who's got lots of gold, oh, you've got lots of silver. It's not a praise. It's the opposite. It's kenai. And so that's why tefillah were limited. As opposed to on Pesach, where the idea of a chol amar be'areis a meshubach. No, you're supposed to say more. You're not supposed to be limiting. The more you can say, the better. And that's what that story is doing in the Haggadah, that we shouldn't feel we're constrained. That's a chiddush by tefillah, that you can't say so much. You have to be limited. When it comes to the Yontif of Pesach, and I argue the same thing is true on Hanukkah, whatever reason that we don't have Masechtas Hanukkah, everyone loves to talk about this question, why is there no Masechta of Mishnayos? Why is there no book in Chazal dedicated to Hanukkah? There's lots of different answers. Heard someone that maybe Miguel's Tainus somehow counts as it. Yeah, each answer has a difficulty, but these answers been suggested. Some say there's no book of the Mishnayos because there's no book of Tanakh. It doesn't quite work either. Others say that there was a book that we lost. Again, you can find, or maybe there was an anti-Chashmonai aspect of it, or maybe because we're trying to say Torah Shabbat Peh, so we don't want to. Again, there's tons of different answers. No answer totally, in my mind, satisfied. Assuming if you agree that's a question, that's no Maseches Chanukah, I'm not sure there's any good answer. If you don't buy it's a question, then you can come up with lots of good answers. But if you accept the question, none of the answers totally are satisfying. But regardless of that, we managed to make do. People have seen the Gemara and Shabbos, Tupla, that's pretty much the entire Chanukah Sugya, and yet we have managed to create Svarim on top of Svarim, of Halacha and Drush, and Lomdus and Shirim about Chanukah. And there's something very beautiful about it. That's the Chol HaMoed and the Shubach. That's part of the idea of Chanukah, is that despite not having a Masechta, we're able to keep learning and make the Yontif meaningful. But I want to say something a little further. There's an idea on Purim, on Chanukah rather, of the idea of the Mahadran. You know, this idea is part of the unique, the singular aspect of Chanukah is the idea of the mitzvah of Mahadran, the Mahadran, min Mahadran, of lighting extra candles, as we are knowing to do. And this is very different, as Benny pointed out, than the usual ideas of Hiddur. The Hiddur mitzvah that we usually do, we kind of think of spending more money, getting more beautiful. While there may be an idea of Chanukah of having a nicer menorah, I've not seen that in print, but I'm sure it's there somewhere, having a nicer menorah, perhaps using better kinds of oil that you do as a hiddur. That's not the type of hiddur that we're talking about in Mahajan, Mahajan, and Mahajan. We're talking about changing the character of the mitzvah. And as such, I think an idea that I always think about Mahajan, I don't think is actually accurate here. When I was younger, when I first learned that idea, I was, okay, if you don't have so much money, you're a poor person, you do the basic level, you have more money, you do more, and you have even more money than you do Mahajan and Mahajan. I always thought of that in the context of your wealth. Almost comparing it to people in the idea of Truma. Chazal set certain shirim for Truma depending on how much money that you had. That's based on your wealth. And there are other examples of that as well, where what you spend or how you perform the mitzvah is determined by your ability. And in general, we may think of Hiddur that way by Esrog. You go to the table, right? They have the Gvirim table and the less Gvirim table, you know, right? That's the, how much you're able to spend. A person's willing and able to spend. By Chanukah, it's not the idea. I don't think that's the Mahadran. It's not about your monetary ability. It's how much you yourself want to beautify the mitzvah. The more candles there are, it was seen as a greater beautification. We don't always appreciate that, Bismanazah, because for us, candles are only being used for the mitzvah. We don't use candles otherwise. You can imagine at a time before electricity, just to light candles that you're not allowed to get benefit from. We say in the nearest level, and it was just a shtamish, that you're not even allowed to get benefit from, just to have candles burning. All that does is provide a certain sense in the house. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, the point of the menorah in the base of Mikdash was the same way in a king's house, you have lights that are just there and ornamental lights. They don't actually serve any, they're functional, or they're more than their functional use. So that's what we're supposed to do with the menorah in the Mishkan, the base of Mikdash. So it's the same thing with the menorah in a house, but nowadays we've lost that to a certain extent because we don't need it. The mitzvah, the lights, okay, we like one candle, like five candles. We're not using it for light. We have electric lights anyway. It doesn't do that. So to a certain extent, we've lost that appreciation of the Mahajan, the Mahajan ability. Because again, as I said, it's not determined by financial, who was, but Baruch Hashem, most of us can afford it. And if it's B.I. by having more lights, we don't have that either. So how exactly do we approach the Mahajan, Min Mahajan aspect? Where do we put the Hiddur into Chanukah? I'd argue that the Minhagim that have taken hold in America in recent years, including the Masiba, including, if I dare say, giving presents, without getting into that whole machlokas, whether it's chukas agayim or not, but the beauty of that in Chanukah gelt, giving presents, and the focus on Talmud Torah and Chanukah, all of those aspects have become a minhag of the holiday. Yeshiva had a mesiba last night. Almost all yeshivas have mesibas. That's become a minhag. It's expanded to include Chanukah. The Rama writes that according to Rav Rundberg, that there's no minhag of a suda on Chanukah like we have a chazoy of a suda, but you should be marvim ktsas. You should have a little bit more, whatever exactly that means. Nowadays, I don't know, I had a family Chanukah party, perhaps we've had family or friends Chanukah parties, or we're having a here one in Shir now. That's become the way that we mahadah this holiday. And argue that through these different methods, again, maybe presents, but certainly through having a mesiba, through greater singing, and of course through greater limud Torah, all that Torah that we spoke at the beginning that's become to be associated with the holiday, that we've taken, not a mesechta, one or two daf gemara. You know, Sobolovsky likes to say that, you know, if you're writing the history of halacha and you examine how certain halachas have changed over the years and what becomes the focus, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there's one short siman about the traveler on Chanukah. It's one short line in the Shulchan Aruch. And yet, if you ask a rabbi, you know what the most common question you get about Chanukah nowadays? the travel on Hanukkah. That is 90% if I'm wrong. That is 99% of the Hanukkah shilas nowadays. I've never gotten a question, can I use this for oil? Is this okay? I've never gotten a question like that about wicks. People just buy those from the store. Get tons of questions about the traveler on Hanukkah. I'm going to be here, and then I'm sleeping here, and then I'm eating here in the middle of the night. I'm going to eat, in the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up midnight and go eat somewhere else, kind of like in that place, because I have my menorah. All these types of questions that we get. That again, we've kind of taken, that's part of the beauty of halacha by Hanukkah, that the nature of the holiday, of course, is still about the lighting. Of course, that's the idea of, that's of course, that's the ikar mitzvah of the day. But the way that we show the simcha, the Rambam writes in Hanukkah, he changed the language of the Gemara, he adds the Indian of simcha on Hanukkah. The Gemara doesn't say simcha. It says halba odah. The Rambam writes the simcha. And everyone asks, what's a simcha on the holiday exactly? It doesn't, it's not about to avail us, according to most poskim. Where's the simcha on Hanukkah that you have? The simcha on Hanukkah argue is that our chim joy of just lighting the candles and making the yontif meaningful each person as they do it. And as Rav Simon mentioned here in the yeshiva, the ability to enhance the holiday with learning Torah, we don't take off for Hanukkah, but that we learn more Torah and that we can sing together as a chevra. That is our mahadra on the holiday. That's how we make it a more mahudra holiday. It's that simcha that we take and take a yontif that, again, is something that happened thousands of years ago, recollecting the event, and we're not recreating the sense we do on Pesach, the Chiluk. We don't say, oh, we like as if it happened nowadays. There's no Indian of trying to get the oil last longer. That's not what we're trying to, not recreating the miracle. It's just simply the simcha of lighting a candle and being able to imbue that with meaning. That is the power of the holiday as well. Thank you everyone so much for letting me join your Masiba enhancing. Maicha, simcha Hanukkah, and I wish everyone a wonderful rest of Freilich and rest of Yom Tov, rest of Hanukkah, not Yom Tov, Freilich and Hanukkah.
Shkoyev, thank you. Shkoyev, Rabbi Tavis. I also want to make